last year. Maybe I didn't. Famous question, Moshe Rabbeinu. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was missing in action. One of the most famous questions. How come Moshe Rabbeinu was not mentioned in the Haggadah? So everyone knows the most famous answer is because Ani v'loy malach, Ani v'loy shliach, Ani hu v'loy acher, is that to emphasize, the Baal Haggadah wants to emphasize, is not about people. The Haggadah is about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and by design we do not want to give any mention to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though, you know, it's a night of Hakaras HaTov, and you would think you have to give Hakaras HaTov to Hashem's agents. No, only Hashem. Ani hu v'loy acher. And by the way, as an aside, what about Aaron and what about Miriam? Is Aaron mentioned anywhere in the Haggadah? I'm not sure. I saw one of the Haggadahs, he mentioned this discussion. There were three leaders. One leader doesn't get very much credit. That's Miriam. You hear me? Is it okay? It sounds okay? Yeah. Klal Yisrael in the 40 years had three leaders. Two men and one woman. Okay, and they were all pretty much equal. Even though Chazal say Moshe and Aaron, they were shkulim. Oh, what about Miriam? Miriam was part of the team. Miriam, it's necessary for a society to have a woman. The women, as we all know, you know, they relate to, you need a woman. Women, for certain issues, they need someone that they can relate to. You know, and today, I used to have much more to do with Torah anytime. And in Torah anytime, there are many women speakers. And in fact, I would estimate 75% of the listening audience to Torah anytime are women. I think 75% are women. That's my estimation.
Is that not doing anything? They have more time.
What?
They're not doing anything anyway, so they have more time.
You know the nastiest joke in the world. I told you the nastiest joke in the world is, why do you tell the women to put out the 10 pieces of chametz to look for? Why? Why? Again, there's a disclaimer. Any women listening to this,
Rabbi Levine, Miriam was part of the team in the sense that Be'er Mayim, the water, there were three...
The Be'er, right. The Mon, the Nani Akavod.
They needed the Mon, they needed security, Aaron, and they needed the water. She was part of the team.
Absolutely, that's what we said. That she was a major component of the team. These three, I once came across something which proved.
I'm mentioning the Be'er Mayim.
Moshe was the Mon, Aaron, the Anani covered. Only in her zuchus did Klal Yisrael have the Be'er Mayim, the Be'er of Miriam, and she was. So where is Miriam? How come Miriam is not mentioned anywhere in the Haggadah? Zero. At least Moshe gets, you know, Vayeminu BaHashem. So even though we all claim that Moshe is not mentioned, and we all like to discount that pasuk, bottom line is Moshe is right there. Aaron, is his name mentioned anywhere in the Haggadah? I'm not sure it is. You have to go back and check. Miriam, I don't believe anywhere is mentioned in the Haggadah. There were three leaders, and all three are not mentioned. Okay, that's a side question which needs to be, because we only talk about Moshe. But let's go back to the original question. Moshe was the leader. How come Moshe is not mentioned? So I saw a very, very interesting idea. Like Gladstein Sagal doesn't say what I'm saying, but he triggered this machshava. And that is, why there is a minhag. It's a little bit controversial. I once had someone that really gave me a headache over this, about wearing a kittel at the Seder. Is there anyone here that does not wear a kittel at the Seder? Everyone here wears a kittel? Oh, you don't wear a kittel, okay. Anyone? Not everyone wears a kittel. Okay, by the way, Yekis don't. Okay, there's no doubt about it that the minhag of wearing a kittel is a very ancient minhag. It goes way, way back to very early times to wear a kittel. And there are many reasons why you wear a kittel. The basic reasons are it's the tachrichim. And it's a polite reminder to the person, listen, don't get carried away here. Just because you're sitting around the table and you have your best clothing and the best kalim and everything is so wonderful and beautiful, listen, don't get carried away over here. No one lives forever, and it's a dangerous world, and you have to behave yourself, do tshuva, and follow the rules. You wear a kittel to be mazkir the yom hamisa. That's a very popular answer. Another answer is that it resembles big day kahuna. And that on the night of Pesach, we're eating the Karban Pesach. and then some will tell you it's a big day. Simcha, there are many popular answers, but one of the answers I came across is a very unique answer. Moshe Rabbeinu. Kalman, you cold? You cold over Kalman?
Okay,
how do we turn this on? System is cold.
Okay.
Heating is going on. Takes a few minutes to warm up.
Another answer they give is not
it's what? The Malachi Asharis. Okay, Mordechai Mintz is reminding us that there's another reason why you wear a kilt is because Rabbi Sai is to be dubbed to the Malachi Asharis. The Malachi Asharis are viewed by the Nevi'im dressed in white. But one of the answers given is that the Moshe Rabbeinu, when he inaugurated the Mishkan, the Rashi and Chumash, for the first 7 days, when they put up the Mishkan, Moshe did the Avoda. When Moshe did the Avoda, what clothing did Moshe Rabbeinu wear? So there's a lot of discussion about this. Some learned that on day 8, Moshe wore big day kahuna. He wore mamash like a kohen gadol. But one thing is, the first 7 days, on the first 7 days, there's a big topic of discussion, what did Moshe wear on day 8? Vayhi bayom hashmini. But the first 7 days, the Gemara explicitly says, like Mordechai mentioned, he wore a white garment. Pashut. Just a very, no hem. No one should suspect him that he took money. The simplest possible white garment. What? When Moshe inaugurated the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu wore a beged lavan pashut, the simplest possible white garment. That was the garment that Moshe wore when he inaugurated the Mishkan, starting in Chodesh Adar, the first 7 days of Adar, leaning into Yom HaShemini. Therefore, I'm suggesting to you the following idea. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu? You are Moshe Rabbeinu. When you put on a kittel, you're getting dressed up like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pesach Seder is the miluim of Klal Yisrael. Just like when Moshe Rabbeinu, he inaugurated the Mishkan, the Mokom of the Hashuas HaShchina, for 7 days, we have a 7-day holiday here. And this 7-day holiday is the inauguration of Klal Yisrael to Hashem's service. And therefore, every Rosh Habayis, you, how come Moshe is not mentioned in the Haggadah? Because you're Moshe. You have to go read about yourself. When you, is there a better person, if you would be able to select, bring back from the dead, any member of the Ishei HaTanach to be the narrator for the Haggadah? Bring back, get a narrator. I once went to a dinner and they had a video, and on the video there was a narrator and he was speaking and talking and saying all these things, and everyone wanted to know who was the narrator. Who was the narrator? Right, exactly. You know, when you go to Torah Anytime, it says, you have just listened to a Torah share. You know who that is? In Torah Anytime, every share begins and ends with Pesach Kron. That's his voice. His voice has been heard probably that opening line on every probably a billion times. The whole history of how that happened, whole story, one of the most fascinating stories that's his voice. Who is the narrator for the Haggadah? Who is the one that is speaking? When the children look at their father, who are they looking at? My father, Vigat Levincha. But it's a masquerade party. Not a masquerade party. It's the father. If you can bring back from the dead, if you can bring back from the dead any one person to be the presenter. You know, you see in the advertisements in the newspapers to go to Pesach. Oh, go to this hotel. Go to this hotel. So what is the most important thing you need to know about the hotel? Who's the caterer? The food. The hechsher is the last thing you want to know about. Who's even interested? You want to know about the amenities, the tea room. You want to know about the trips. You want to know about the rooms. They have also the shatchanim, you know. They have to have on the bottom. The shatchanim going to be over there. Does anyone really care who the speakers are? Not really, but sometimes the... Yes. Who's going to be the narrator? We're going to have a big communal seder, and there's going to be a leader, a charismatic, dynamic person that's going to lead the seder. and everyone is chalishing to go and be part of that Seder and hear this person lead and give words of inspiration. If there's any person in the whole wide world from the time of creation until today that you would want to bring up from the dead to be the narrator and to be the director of the Seder, there can be no one better than Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because he's the one. He's the original.
He knows the real story.
He knows the real story. He's the one that did it the first time.
He knows all the secrets.
He knows all the inside information. They can be, think about it. There can be no one better in the whole world to lead our Seder than Moshe Rabbeinu. So you know what? You be that Moshe Rabbeinu. And you get dressed up. No, you have to have a costume. You make a movie. You gotta get. You have to have all. You ever see these videos? They show you where they get the costumes from the 60s, the 70s, the 50s. They have these massive warehouses of clothing. That if you want to, it's an historical movie of the 50s. So they go and they have a warehouse of all the clothing they wore in the 50s, and they dress up all of the actors. So if you want to bring Moshe Rabbeinu to narrate the Haggadah, you got to wear the costume. You got to wear the uniform. What was Moshe's uniform? Rav Mordechai mentioned a beged lavan pashut with no imra, with no hem. Isn't that what the kittel is? The kittel is the uniform. It is the garment of Moshe Rabbeinu. Memela, Moshe Rabbeinu is the narrator of the Haggadah. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe went into the Mishkan, he didn't have a masveh. When Moshe Rabbeinu, memela, being that, it goes together. You know why Moshe is not mentioned in the Haggadah? Because he's right in front of you. He's talking to you. You're not going to go talk about yourself. Moshe's the narrator. The proof is he's dressed like Moshe Rabbeinu. Your father is dressed like Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you have children, you're going to be the Moshe Rabbeinu of the Seder. Okay, next part. Kol Dichvin, we go to the Haggadah of...
Okay. Why we wear
listening.
When do we wear kippah?
Yom Kippur.
And kippah is the only thing you're bringing to the Seder that has no chametz on it.
Oh,
no way.
What?
No need on kippah.
Very good. But what about the other way around? People complain, they come to the Seder, they say the way, you come to the Seder and you forgot to send it to the cleaners. So you take guys, there's wine stains.
On the flip side, there are certain people that will hear their kittel unclean on their kippah.
Bedafka, the zuchus of the Seder should accompany them into the Yom HaDin. Okay? I like your idea. There's no food. It's not chametz stick. It's not chametz stick because you only used it on Yom Kippur. Very nice. I like it. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, I want to try to cover some ground. We don't. We're short.
And the additional reinforcement of what you're saying, Rabbi Levine, is that the beged makes the person. When the person wears the garment of somebody,
you become that person.
One of the riots they bring is by Yaakov when he dressed up.
Like Esav. Right. When you dress up like someone, you become that person. When Rav Mordechai is saying that, just like Yaakov Avinu, he dressed up in the clothing of Esav, and that's why it's not a lie to say, I am Esav, your firstborn, because when you dress in the clothing of that person, you become that person. When the person, the Rosh Habayis, gets dressed in the clothing of Moshe, he becomes Moshe. Moshe is right in front of you. You don't need him in the book form. He's alive. You become, Chazal say, that the Gadol Hadar in every generation is a me'ein of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gadol Hadar is a me'ein, Moshe Shaper Kam. We have in the Gemara, one of the Amorayim, he said something, and the other one was so impressed, he said to him, Moshe Shaper Kamrit. My name is not Moshe. What are you calling me, Moshe? My name is Yankel. What are you calling? You just did something on the league of the Gadol Hadar. You're the Gadol Hadar. And the Gadol Hadar is Moshe. And every bias, the children look at their father, he's the Gadol Hadar. You, my father, you are the Gadol Hadar. That's the way children look at their parents. Your parent is the Gadol Hadar. The Nela, the night of the state of the parent, gets dressed up in the clothing of Moshe. And that's why Moshe's not mentioned in the Haggadah. Because when you got the real deal, you don't need a book. It's right in front of you. Moshe Rabbeinu is alive and well right in front of you. He's narrating the Haggadah. He's telling you exactly what happened. And you can listen to him. And he indeed is the Gadol Hadar. It's a whole new dimension to appreciate the Haggadah. Okay, now let's go to a whole Achma Anya Diacholu Avosan Diardim Mitzrayim. Kol Dichvin, anyone that is hungry, Yesei V'Yechol. Kol Ditzrich, anyone that needs, Yesei V'Yivsach. Hashat Hachol Hashanah Bab Yardi Yisrael. We spent a whole shiur on this. Who are you talking to? The doors are closed. Who are you talking to? You want to go make this announcement? Make this announcement 2 weeks ago in the street. Put up signs, put up ads in the newspaper. Say this in shul, publicly. What are you saying this over here? What are you saying this over here when the doors are closed? It's too little too late. So we gave a whole bunch of answers. We had a whole discussion on this. Some very nice answers that came across. I'll give you another answer. This is more of a drush answer. You're saying this bedavka to the people who are in the house. You're not saying this. You're saying, I know you people here, some of you are very hungry. You're hungry, it's been a long day. Yesei v'yechol. In other words, you're telling everyone that's already at your Seder, don't leave. All of you here are hungry. All of you here need to bring a Korban Pesach, which in this case means the Afikoymen. And all of you are in need. Everyone here at the table, and I want to let you all know, you're all invited. You're all invited. I invited you all here for a reason. You're all invited. And in essence, when you make this, you extend this invitation to the people that are already here, you're in essence, you're saying to them, don't leave. Why do you want to say this? Basically, as just one example, if you get bored, don't leave. And more specifically, you're addressing the Russia. Because the father has practiced the whole day, put on his boxing gloves. Okay, the father the whole day, you know, he's been practicing exactly how to punch, to knock out the teeth of the Russia. He's been in training. And the danger is, if I hit the Russia too hard, and I knock out all of his teeth, he's going to pick himself up and walk out. My son, the Russia, you're invited to this Seder to the very end. And no matter how harsh I speak to you, no matter what I do to you, it's out of love, and you should know, kol dichvin yesei v'yechol. I want you to eat, just because during the Haggadah I'm going to knock out your teeth. Stick around. I'll give you dentures. Stick around for the food. Stick around for the Korban Pesach. Hashata hocha. This year you're going to be here with me, and next year we're going to be together in Yerushalayim. You are creating a safety net. You are addressing the people that are sitting at your dining room table, and you're telling them, I'm not talking to the people out in the street. It's too late for them. I'm talking to you here. You are all invited. You are all invited now to eat the Shulchan Aruch, to eat the Afikoymen, the Pesach, and next year also, you're invited. I'm inviting you, Hashata Hochel, Lashon HaMab Yardi Yisrael. I want to let you, my Russia son, know that next year I'm inviting you to the Seder in Yerushalayim. This Seder, you're invited to eat. I'm going to beat you up long before we get to Shulchan Aruch. You're hungry, right? Kol Dichlin Yesei. Remain present. We have to be, it's a little bit loose translation. Yesei v'yechol. Kol ditzrich. You also need to eat the afikoymen. Yesei v'yivsach. Don't leave. You have to remain. I love you just the same.
When my kids hear me say the general about Yishlein, they say, are you including tickets also?
The answer is yes. You brought them into this world, you're responsible to buy them the tickets for next year in Yerushalayim. This is a safety net for all of the things that go wrong during the Seder. It's inevitable someone's going to knock over a cup of wine on your brand new, beautiful, white, white tablecloth, which I don't know what you were thinking. It's not going to, I don't know what you were thinking. And oh, what did you just do? It's inevitable there's going to be some tension at the Pesach Seder. Not everything goes according to plan. That's life. I want everyone to know here in the very beginning of the Seder, no matter what happens, tonight, you're all invited to remain to the very end and for next year as well. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's go. Now, this idea is a little controversial. Let me give you a hagdama. I was in someone's house not long ago, and he looked at the yated, and he really didn't like this. And they have this the round table chinuch questions. Okay, it's a very popular part of that newspaper. Some people only buy just for that, where they selected, like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 very popular mechanchim in our community. And they... They send out a question, and all of them answer the question. Rabbi Bender...
Is it lettuce to be out of your...
I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah. I think Rabbi Bender, he took all of his answers from Far Rockaway, Darke, he took all of his answers and he put it into a book. And he wrote in the Hagdama that he spent an enormous amount of time thinking about the question, writing the answer and rewriting the answer. He spent it, and in fact he quit. I don't have that, I just can't write an answer. I want to really, really, you know, think about it. He didn't just write an answer. I don't have the time anymore. And he quit. But he took all of the answers that he wrote for many, many years and he put into a book. Very little controversial, some of the things, obviously, these answers. Okay, so someone showed me a question, a very big Talmud Chacham. So the question was, I have a son, my son goes to yeshiva, let's say he's in eighth grade, and his Rebbe occasionally comes late to davening. They all daven together in the yeshiva, and they're all supposed to come there before davening, to have a seder in the learning before davening. And would you believe the chutzpah that my son's Rebbe, he's the role model for my son, occasionally, he comes late.
Fire.
Okay, he comes late. So the father of his eighth grade little tzaddikal, I don't know what to do about this. How do I deal with this? That the Rebbe of my son in eighth grade, he's supposed to come early, half an hour early to the seder, but sometimes he comes in the middle of Psukei de Zimra. And all of the mechanchim gave their brilliant comments on this shaila. So this certain person, he says to me, what do you think of this? So I have no comment. He says to me, it's none of your business. He says to me basically, what kind of crazy question is this? It's none of your business. That's what he said. It's none of your business. The Rebbe came late, knew the Rebbe came late. It's none of your business. He was so disturbed. This is the question. He was so disturbed that now all these 20 people are going to dissect. They're going to dissect this Rebbe, the chutzpah, that occasionally he comes late to davening, and the effect it's going to have on his eighth grade son in his hashkaf of davening the rest of his life. He just said to me, they made this look. It's none of your business.
I was called for jury duty, and you go into that room, and they start interviewing you, and they start talking to you, and they're keeping you there. And it came lunchtime, and they said, you have an hour, you better be back here 1 o'clock, otherwise you're in big trouble, you better be back on time.
Okay.
Sure enough, you'll come back at 1 o'clock. Who's not here? The judge. He's not here. And then the head judge starts walking down the hallway, checking in with each room, what's going on? Everything okay? Me, I'm not a quiet guy. I said, no. He said, what's the problem? I said, we would have been held in contempt if we were back at one. And here, the judge himself is not here on time. He goes, you're right. Judge came back.
What did you say?
We were all dismissed as jurors. We were all disqualified for what I did.
What?
That we were so against the judge. He threw us all out. But the head guy came in and put him to...
Put him in this place. All right, let's go further. It's none of your business. The Rebbe came late, so the Rebbe came late. He didn't like this whole question. He didn't like this whole question. Okay, why did I tell you this story? Why did I tell you this story as a Hakdama? We have here in the Haggadah story. Okay, a whole new way of looking at things. A whole new way of looking at the Haggadah. Maiseh with Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They were sitting in Bnei Brak. I left out someone in the story, or whatever it is. Until the Talmidim came, and they said, Rabbi Seinu, he gives man kriyas mashal shachris. Cut it out. It's time for that. You're going to be late for davening. Let me get the exact words of the Haggadah. We take this as a beautiful story. Ma'isa, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eloz ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfa. Kev Shoyu Mesubin b'bnei Barak. By the way, Rabbi Eliezer did not start learning Torah until he was 28 years old. He never learned the Aleph Beis. Rabbi Akiva did not start learning Torah until he was 40 years old. Rabbi Yoshua was destitute. He was so poor, beyond belief. Rabbi Eloz ben Azariah, no one liked him. He was 18 years old. They didn't want to accept him as the Rosh Hashiva because he was too young. They always had it out for him because they felt, how will you become? And Rabbi Tarfain was too wealthy. He was too wealthy, so when you're too wealthy, no one likes you either. Everyone here had something going against them, by the way. Everyone had their own issues in life. Every member of this group, the dream team. This is the dream team. The dream team, everyone on the dream team had their own issues in life. No one, there's no such thing as the dream team. For you misapim, b'yitzias Mitzrayim, kol oiso halayla, ad shebohu salmidehem, v'amru lohem, Rabbi Seinu, we're waiting for you. It's time for Shachris. It's time for Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Higi Azman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. It's time to daven Shachris. It's time for Shachris. So when we learn this story, when we're taught this story, when we learn this story in yeshiva, what a beautiful story. Wow. They were learning the whole night. In fact, the Rambam says that you mechuyev to stay up the whole night until sleep overtakes you to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then they'll tell you, and now when they were darshing the Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, you'll find a gematria and an illusion. Oh, Mashiach is here. Your avoider of talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim Kol Ois, like what Meir does on East 27th Street, 3 o'clock. The avoider of talking about Hashem's greatness and the miracles, the Nisa Deflois, was so amazing. Mamish, it's like the Malachi Hasharis. Oh, Mashiach is here. Isn't that the flavor of how they taught us this story in Yeshiva Ketana? It's a beautiful story showing the Hasmada of the Gedolei Yisrael, showing the Talmidim, oh, they love the Rebbeim, they're in love with the Rebbeim, they're coming to eavesdrop on the Rebbeim to listen to the words of the Holy Torah, and now they're so involved in Torah, they're fatracht, they don't even know that it's the morning, and they have to daven, and when we get into the deeper meaning of Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, it means Mashiach is here. That is the way I have been taught, and that's the way basically every single Haggadah I've ever saw presents the story in the most positive, beautiful Cinderella form of the story. I saw a new take on the story this year, which very much appeals to me. And that is, the Talmidim, they missed the whole point. First of all, the Talmidim, it's none of your business. What are you knocking on the door? Rabbi Seinu, he gives man Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. What, you know better than us? You're dealing here with the Gedolei Hador. These are the Gedolei Hador beyond the Gedolei Hador. You know, and I was in Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. There were many times when, you know, the Rashiva, Rav Rashiva was the biggest Baal Avoida in davening. That was his big thing. Rav Aaron Shechter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he was a davener. He knew how to daven. No one can deny that. When he came to davening, that was like a very big thing by him. He knew how to daven. Especially in the younger years. When he got older, he was one so well. And Mincha, you know, he would come in. Shachris, of course, with Talis and Tzolni. And many times, it's time for Mincha. No. We're not going to start without him. 400 people. Where is he? First, it was a Musa Seder. And very often, he was in his office dealing with an emergency. I can't come. I have here in the office, I'm dealing with a crisis. Something happened. And very often. It happened pretty often. So why did the Rashiva say, Mincha, I don't care about the crisis. There's a crisis, someone's suffering, there's an emergency, who cares? Give me 15 minutes to go daven Mincha. No. It's a crisis. It happened many times. Sometimes even people who were in the office, like they come even knocking on the door, Mincha, the Rosh Yeshiva is not coming to Mincha. Go, start without him, he's not coming. And what was he dealing with? Sometimes you discover it wasn't even something you would think was such a big deal. He was dealing with a bacher that had an issue. Uchar could have waited another 15 minutes. No, he was oisek in this inyan. I'm not going to Mincha. I'm not going to daven Mincha. I'll daven be yechidus later. I'm not going. The Gedolei Yisrael were being oisek in being misaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim kol ois halayla. Halachically, are they mechuyif to stop the Kriyas Rosh HaShacharis? I don't know the answer. But my bet is they're not. They're orangutan in the mitzvah of the Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim kol ois halayla. What are you guys coming here and knocking on the door and saying, oh, Rabbi Seinu, it's Shacharis. It's time now to daven Shacharis, Kriya Shmashal Shacharis. You don't think we know that? You don't think that we know what time it is? We're so fatracht. They don't know what time it is. They knew what time it is. They were busy. You can't achieve results unless you maintain the momentum. That's the way things go in life. Once you break the momentum, you're not going to ever. And that demands sometimes you can't do. We learned many times in time of Chazal, in the Beis Medrash, they didn't daven. The Batei Midrashim was 24/7 learning. You want to daven? You're tired? You can't learn anymore? Across the street, there's a beautiful shul. And the only thing they do in that shul is they daven. They have minyan for davening. This is the Makom of Torah. 24/7 Torah. You're Oisek in Torah, you're potter from davening. Today, the concept by us doesn't exist. We're not on a madrega to do something like that today. But theoretically, when you're orangutan in something, I remember my father. My father first became Rav. There was a balabas who was a nifter, and they needed someone to get to do something for the nifter. I was a little kid then in the house, and a guy comes in, my father, and this person was going to take care of the issue. He was going to go. Something had to be done, and it was like a teenager, and he said to my father, "But I didn't have a mincha." So my father said to him, "Mincha? You don't have a mincha now. There's no mincha for you. You oisek b'mitzvah. This is an emergency. You do this. There's no mincha. All of a sudden, you have something better to do. You're potter from mincha. This is your mission now." I remember registered with the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim was, when he was very old, towards the very end of his life, they had two boys sitting with him in the house. Two boys were sitting with him in the house to be with him because he was very, very old, very sick. And then, all of a sudden, they disappeared. And the Chofetz Chaim said, "Where do they go? I need them. Where do they go?" So the person, they went to Daven Mincha. So the Chofetz Chaim said, "Narish Abachrim. Narish Abachar, they're here helping an old man," referring to himself, a Zaken. He must have then been, no one knows how old the Chofetz Chaim was when he died. No one really knows. They tell you he was 95, 93, no one really knows. They suspect he was a lot older. Narish Abachar, you're helping an old man, a sick old man, and you have to go, you're worried about davening Mincha with the minion? You abandoned an old man like me? You just disappear? You abandoned an old man? Mincha? I had a person with myself. I was with my father, and it was the first and last time I ever did something like this. I was with my father on Shabbos in the hospital, and I asked my father, like nothing was going on, which was very boring in the hospital, can I go to shul? One of these shuls over here outside of the hospital, whatever, in the Manhattan. He says, yeah, of course, nothing here, go on. So I'll be back, whatever, in an hour or 2 hours. So I went to shul, you know, I davened, half the davening, and I came right back. My father said to me, "You know, when you were away, I could have used you. I really needed you. I really needed you when you left. I really," and I realized then what a fool I was. The only reason why I'm here for Shabbos is to be with him, with my father who was very, very sick. What, I'm going to be more religious now and go daven mincha? You daven mincha, you daven shacharis in the room. Why are you going to the hospital? You're going there to be with a sick person. So you think that's what you do there. You don't go, all of a sudden there's an opportunity to go on to be a tourist. What are you here for? You're here for something, do what you're supposed to do. Don't have other cheshbonos. This story, I'm suggesting to you, is coming to highlight to us, to the parents, your children, they're sitting around the table here. They're all dressed up very nice. They all have their books and sheets. But you know something? They have no clue what's really going on. They are in a madrega now of Baruch Hashem. They have respect, Rabbi Seinu. And they're telling you, Higiyas man kriya, and they're oh, let's do everything lahalacha. The kizesim, the shiurim, we have to do before chatzos. Everything has to be done according to the book. These kids, they know what they're called? Mitchila oivdei avoyde zara hayu. Just like when you start off the Haggadah. How do you start off the Haggadah? Man ishtana layla zeh mikol haleilois, right? So then what do? Let's start from the very beginning. There are two very beginnings. Number one, you should know that our ancestors were not so ay ay ay. Avodim hayinu lefar b'mitzrayim. And we were oiv de avoid the zara. Okay, we see that later on in the Haggadah. We were slaves. And later on we say mitchila oiv de avoid the zara hayavosei. We were slaves. We were idolaters. Terach, we mentioned Terach. And just like our ancestors were way off, they were way off. They were worshipping who knows what. They were worshipping Biden. They were way off base. But now, Baruch Hashem, it's all strained out. You guys sitting around the table, I see you have sheets and you have shiurim matzah. You guys, you're way off. You're way off. And to politely remind all of you guys that you're way off, and to remind myself, I gotta knock some sense into you. Let's start with a maisa, which goes to show how way off you people are. Look, they were the Gedolei Yisrael, the greatest of the great. They knew what time it was. Don't tell me that they were so fatrach, they didn't know what time it is. It can't be, you can't say that about Gedolei Yisrael. The greater you are, the more you're in tune to the world of reality. Not the more you're spaced out. It's not a milah to go to a shir that you don't understand a word the Rebbe says and to say, that's godless. That's insanity. That's just insanity. Why do you go to the shir? You understand? I don't understand a word he says. I don't even think anyone understands a word he says. So that's godless? That's not godless. Godless is to understand, to teach. The greater you are, the more in tune you are into the world of reality, into society, and the real deal. These are the greatest of the great of the great. They knew everything that was going on. If they decided not to come out of the room and to continue talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's because they were building up a momentum and fully understanding of what this world is all about. And you know who messed up the whole thing? The Talmidim, the Kanoim. Rabbi Seinu, you know they're going to write a book about you one day that you missed, you didn't come to Shachris. You missed davening with the minion. Higiyas man kriya shema shel Shachris. Tipshim. We're potter from kriya shema shel Shachris. We're potter. We're in the middle of an emergency here. Of understanding the purpose of this world, of what Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Seinu, higiyas man kriya shel Shachris. This story is equivalent to saying that just like Avoseinu, our ancestors, they were Avodim, and they were Ovli Avodazara. History repeats itself. We have a generation where there are great people, but the next generation, they it's like there was Avoseinu. Here in this generation, maybe we can say like this. Our ancestors were once messed up. In this generation, the children are all messed up. The children are totally messed up. What are you disturbing me? Rabbi Seinu, Higiyas man kriya shema shel Shachris. Get lost! And therefore, now that we know that our children are all messed up, now we have to begin and tell you, explain to you, straighten you guys out. Oh, Maribel Lozman Azari, you already given Shimon Shon of Lozachis. Now we go into the Haggadah. We have two paragraphs of introduction. It used to be in the olden days, Avoseinu were Avodim. Today, our children are the problem. They're the dangerous ones. And they need to be straightened out. Okay, so this is an idea which off the beaten track, right, Bezalel? This idea is way off the beaten track. Yeah. Mordechai?
Do you hear me there?
Yes, I hear you. We hear you. Okay, let's go to another idea. I'm sorry?
Is that you?
Hello?
What's going on? Can you hear me?
We hear you.
Oh, let me make it louder.
We hear you. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yochol Meirosh Chodesh. Yochol, the Haggadah, I would think that the Haggadah should begin, the Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim should begin from Rosh Chodesh. Rav Mordechai. Yochol Meirosh Chodesh. Talmuloy Mar Bayoy Mahu. Bayoy Mahu. Rav Mordechai, we have to go further. Rav Mordechai, we have to go forward. Yochol Meirosh Chodesh. Talmuloy Mar Bayoy Mahu. Bayoy Mahu. Yochol Meboydoyim. What is going on over here? I would think that the mitzvah of Vigarata Levincha begins on when Vigarata Levincha begins on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Torah says you have to teach your children the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. When will you teach your children the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. No. Talmud Loimar. Bayoim Hahu. I Bayoim Hahu Yochol Mibo'oid Yoim. I would think that you should teach your children Torah. Tell them the story on Erev Pesach at the Zman when you offer the Korban Pesach. No. Talmuloy mar bavur ze. Lo yamardi el b'sho sheyesh matzo umoror munochim lifonech. What here is going on? There has to be a deeper meaning to this pshat. So I want to combine now a couple of ideas that I came across to give an approach to this idea. What exactly happened on Rosh Chodesh? Why Yochol Meir Rosh Chodesh? What happened on Rosh Chodesh? Rav Mechol knows very good and well. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the anniversary of the observance of the very first mitzvah which we were commanded as a nation, of Kiddush HaChodesh. HaChodesh Hazel Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. What is unique about the Yom Tov of Kiddush HaChodesh? It represents a mitzvah that differentiates us then from the Umay Sa'olam. The Umay Sa'olam, how do they calculate time? A solar calendar. They calculate time based upon the sun. The earth rotates, orbits around the sun. Along comes the Torah and says, Lochem, I do not want my nation, Klal Yisrael, to calculate time based upon its solar calendar. I wish that you calculate time based upon a lunar calendar. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, and the Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when we begin that separation from the Umay Sa'olam. Now, what is exactly the difference in Hashkafa between the Umay Sa'olam calculating time based on the sun versus Klal Yisrael calculating time based upon the moon? Well, the difference is very simple. The Goyim don't have very much self-worth. They look at this world, and time especially, as the earth orbits around the sun. The Ikor is always in the middle. The sun is the Ikor. The earth worships. The earth worships the sun. Today you'll tell me global warming, right? Today it's mamash a religion. It's a religion to worship the koyach of the sun, and the sun's gonna destroy us. Too much heat, science, nature, we're nothing. The earth The earth is garnished. The earth circles, it dances around the sun the whole day. If you dance around the sun, means I'm the servant and you're the yikar. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I didn't create this world that you should be nobodies and dance around someone else. You, the way you relate to this world, time and creation, is you're the yikar. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Find a heavenly body that dances around you. And that's how you should view your purpose in life. Everyone always says the basic idea. The sun is the noisin, the levon is the makabel. Let's forget about that. This is a much more profound idea than the noisin and the makabel. I don't want to say more. It's a different idea. The moon goes around the earth. Do you realize that you're the yikar? Bishvili nivra ha'olam. There are heavenly bodies that are dancing around us. We're the yikar, not someone else. So don't live a life with an attitude that you are nothing, you're garbage, you're just a carbon-emitting being that is a nuisance to this beautiful world of nature. And if halavai, we can get rid of all the humans so the world can exist, just the world itself, without the carbon-emitting lowlives that are polluting the world. Don't live with such a corrupt attitude. You are the yikar. If you want to celebrate time, you want to live a life of time, find some entity in this world that worships you, like the moon. The moon dances around the earth. Ah, now you're on the right track. This is the hevdel between Yisroel lo'amim. Klal Yisroel is a nation that appreciates that the world was created for us. Yochol Meresh Chodesh. So isn't that the best time to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, when we began the process of coming to separate ourselves from the nations of the world to understand that we are the Ikar? The world has a purpose? Yeah, it's a good Hava Amina, but I want to tell you something, it's even better than that. E Talmuloimar Bayom Ahu. What is Bayom Ahu? The Karban Pesach. When you slaughter the Karban Pesach, what is the unique feature of the Karban Pesach that does not apply to any other carbon in the whole Torah? The Karban Pesach is about the Mishpocha. You have to register. Every Mishpocha has to come together. Every bias. Yochoisu alaseh. It's not just about the whole world. It's not just about, okay, Klal Yisrael as a whole. Every Mishpocha, every bias in Klal Yisrael has its own Korban Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pasach HaShem ala Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis V'chomal. The idea of self-worth is not just connected to the nations of the world that have no self-worth, and they look at this world as just servicing the sun. Not only does this earth, Klal Yisrael, have purpose, every mishpocha, every individual family has a unique chelek and value in Hashem's world. I would think it would stop there. Talmud loymar ba'avur zeh. Loyamardi elibisha sheyesh matzo umoror munachim lifonecha. And what does that mean? It's the individual. Now let me prove this point. How many different types of moror? What is moror? So the Gemara, oh, moror. Oh, we got a big problem. What is moror? Moror. Let's talk about lulav and esrog. How many different types of lulav and esrog can you use to be yotzei the mitzvah of dalad minim? Only one. There are four minim. There's one esrog. There are no multiple. You don't have a choice. The Torah says you take the lulav, the esrog, the hadasim, and the aravos. You don't have a choice. I'm telling you exactly what to take. When it comes to, let's say sukkah, the whole kol Yisrael yeshu basukkah, kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukkah. You can have one sukkah for the whole Klal Yisrael. One size fits all. There's a very important drasha. The whole Klal Yisrael is drawing for one sukkah. Everyone can sit together in one sukkah. When it comes to Moror, something very unique. What is Moror? Oh, you have a choice. 5 different items. You can have either chazeres, you can have tamcha, ulshin, and another 2 which I forgot. 5, you have a choice. The gemara, moror, whatever you like. Oh, when it comes to sukkis, oh, I can take either an esroig, or a lemon, or nectarine, or a pear, or an apple. No, you can't. You only can take an esroig. You don't have any choice, no choices. When it comes to moror, Chazal are very generous. This chazeres and tamchui have nothing in common. And they also have nothing in common with ulshin and the other 2. They have nothing in common. How come the Torah allows, when it comes to moror, to customize moror? The answer is, every person has a different bitterness in life. No 2 people experience the same frustration in life. Chazal said in the time when they went in the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, they customized everyone's suffering. If you were a man, they gave you the work of a woman. If you were a woman, they gave you the work of a man. If you were, they maximized the torture the most based upon your disposition, based upon your nature. Shevet Levi didn't suffer as much. It says that all these different midrashim, it says that Paro, he had a very interesting technique. Paro, he said, everyone, we're going to build a building. Everyone has to go out into the field and build bricks. So most people, and I'm also going to go out into the field and collect straw, and we're going to make cement, and I'm going to make bricks, and we're going to lay the bricks. So everyone, they wanted to get on Paro's good side. So everyone went and they made as many bricks they possibly could make. This one made 50, 100. When the day was over, Paro said, oh, I see. When you really want to do good, you can make 50, you can make 100, you can make 300. You know what? Mikanu lahaba. If you don't make 50 bricks, you're dead. If you don't make 300 bricks, you're dead. Paro was able to trick them and try to have them make as many bricks as possible to see what their limits are, what their capabilities are. And then when he discovered their capability, that's what you better do. The torture was customized l'fi the person. Zelumazet, that's a separate issue. Zelumazet, no pain, no gain. That's a separate issue. But it's clear as day that vayimoruru eschayehem bavoda kasha, the midrash make it clear that the suffering was customized. It wasn't one size fits all. Let's talk about matzah. General question. What's the difference between Sukkos and Pesach? What is the main mitzvah of Pesach? Matzah. We eat matzah primarily not because it's poor man's bread, not because you can talk a lot about it, lechem oini, it's because gilui shechina. We left Egypt, we had dough, and we were waiting for the dough to rise, and all of a sudden, guess who's here? The Ribbono Shel Olam has appeared. Gilui Shechina. Huh? Hashem is present. We gotta go right now. There's the bread, all right, matzah. Just put it in the oven. Matzah. It represents the revelation of Hashem's Shechina upon Klal Yisrael. That's what we say. I'm not making this up. That's what we say in the Haggadah. You're not eating matzah because it's poor man's bread, because you can talk a lot about it. You're talking matzah zu sha'anu oichem kol mishloi omar shloich shvayim elo pesach lo yosli chavasav elohim pesach matzah morar. Matzah's gilu shchina. Hashem revealed himself. He's here. Gotta go. Oh, I need food? Just throw the food into the microwave. It'll be a rock in a second. They threw it into the oven. It's done. Let's go. Gilui Shechina. Question. What is Sukkos all about? Why do you sit in a hut for 8 days or 7 days? Whatever you do. Why do you sit in this hut? Don't you see that the schach? This is the Anani HaKavod. What is the Anani HaKavod? The Shechina. The Gilui Shechina. So, Ma Nishtana HaLeila Zeh Mikol HaLeilas. Why is Pesach different than Sukkos? On Sukkos, we sit in the Sukkah because Hashem with Gilui Shechina, we're in the Divine Presence. The Anani HaKavod. Pesach, we're in Divine Presence. It's all the same. Why do you have to have two holidays? Eat the matzah in the sukkah. It's the same holiday. They both blatantly are holidays of Gilui Shechina. The whole holiday is called matzahs, chag hamatzahs. The holiday of sukkahs is sukkahs. Sukkahs are booths. Booths of Anani HaKavod. What are the Anani HaKavod? Who's covered? Hashem's covered. Gilui Shechina. Matzah is the name mitzvah. Gilui Shechina. Shehigle aleihem melech malchei hamlochim. What are the two holidays? Manishtana. Answer is, the holiday of the Gilui Shechina of Sukkos is one size fits all. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu b'Sukkos. There is a type of Shechina that envelops the nation. It's one, a revelation of Hashem's presence. One size fits all. And then there is a private, individual Gilui Shechina. How many times in life do you have situations where something happens to you, and wow, I just saw Gilui Shechina. The coincidence is so impossible. And you tell it to your friend, leave me alone. It's a coincidence. Big deal. Big deal. They don't get it. But they're very religious people. They're very good people. Every person is zoiche to a custom Gilui Shechina. Every person, the Ribbono Shel Olam customizes his revelation to every person on his level. On their level, Yecheskel, he saw the Ma'aseh Merkava one way, and Yeshaya, they have a very different description. They describe it very differently. Why? There are many answers why. But basically, the way you see something is not the way I see something. All of the Nevi'im, all of the Treyasar and the Nevi'im Acharonim, they talk about the same thing again and again. Yimos HaMashiach, and about this Mulchama and that Mulchama, but they all describe it differently. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam customizes his revelation to every single person in their life differently, based upon what they deserve, based upon how much effort they put into discovering Hashem, based upon their merit, and based upon the situation and the time. There is a customization of Hashem's Gilui Shechina. When they bake dough, the matzah represents a custom Gilui Shechina. Just like the suffering, there are five different types of maror. There's only one esrog, but there are five types of maror. Everyone suffers differently. Everyone in Egypt had a different form of suffering. It was a suffering of the individual. And the Gilui Shechina was a Gilui Shechina. Everyone was baking dough, and everyone had a different reaction. Bread, you know, bread is a very personal thing. Bread, everyone liked your taste buds. Food is a very personal experience. It's a very personal experience of eating food.
I mean, there's all five different types of matzah you could make from different...
All right, but generally, chameshes minim. Food is a very personal experience. And when you relate the Gilui Shechina to food, people, they're very different, to everyone knows that. No one likes the same food. Some people don't come here on certain days of the week because downstairs the food's no good. Everyone has a different taste. And when the Gilui Shechina is connected to the taste, it's a personal revelation of Shechina. And that's how Sukkos and Pesach differentiate themselves. It's a maturation when we all can come together under one big Gilui Shechina that we all can relate to together. But we start out, everyone has their Gilui Shechina on their own. And then there is a broader Gilui Shechina for Klal Yisrael. Memela, that's the pshat in Yochol Meirosh Chodesh, Tal Meloim Bayoim Ahu, Tal Meloim Ar Bavur Zeh. We're dealing here with a festival of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, the world was created for you. We start out with Chodesh Nisan. You're not like the Goyim. The Goyim, they look that they're nothings. They don't appreciate who they are. They suffer from a lack of confidence, of self-worth. They have a calendar where they're worshiping the sun. What are you worshiping the sun for? When you worship the sun, oh, everything is an issue. You will own nothing and you will be happy. That's what happens when you worship the sun. You're just a nuisance. I created the world for you. B'shvili nivra ha'olam. Celebrate, calculate your life based upon a heavenly body that dances around you. That's right, that's Klal Yisrael, that's our hashkafa. Maybe it stops there. No. Your mishpacha is choshev. The whole Klal Yisrael depends on your family. Pesach is the only carbon that you have. The family has to register. You come together as a bias, as a mishpacha. The whole mishpacha eats one animal, one. The family, it's not just the klal. Hashem created the world for klal Yisrael. Hashem created the world for this mishpacha, for that mishpacha, for that mishpacha. Gvaldik. So let's say over the Haggadah, Erev Pesach, at the time of Bir Chametz, let's say over the Haggadah. No, it's even better than that. Hashem created the whole world for you alone. Bizman sheyesh matzo umoror munochim lifonecha. Not the Pesach, the matzo umoror. When you were in Egypt, was your suffering the same as his suffering? No, it wasn't. I had to make 500 bricks. He only had to make 300 bricks. Do you like your soup? What kind of soup do you like? Vegetable soup? Or you go to a wedding? What do you want? He gives you a choice. Why are there choices? It's a very sensitive thing. Matzah! Gilu Shechina! The Ribbono Shel Olam was Megala himself in a customized way to you and not to him in that way. Hashem is the ultimate invention of customization, of software. Everyone is unique. Bizman Sheish Matzah Morah, the procession is, you're not like the Goyim. The Goyim have no self-worth, no confidence, no self. They don't have any real self-esteem. They make believe. They make mole gaiva, but they don't believe. They have nothing to believe in. What do they believe in? Klal Yisrael b'shvili nivra ha'olam. Does that mean for the nation? No, it means even the mishpacha. Only the mishpacha? No, even you, the individual. That is the ultimate message that a parent has to give over his child. Every child, no child may be left behind. Every person is choshev. That person can say about himself, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Okay, we're out of time.